astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hello, baby.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hello again. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, home.
Hi.
Yo.
G'day.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hackers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Guys, tune in. Great show. It's not just about football.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Just like that, J.J. Leahy, Packers Without Borders. You know, I'm watching the combine. I'm sure everybody's watching the combine right now, right? There's nothing else to watch other than
of course.
I'm watching my Wrexham Reds just destroy teams. But I had a friend of mine ask me. He goes, you know, why do they do this combine? Like half of these guys test really well and then they end up, you know, not working out, not panning out. It doesn't equate to the NFL. And I said to him, you know, this is like a job interview. Everybody shows up. They've got the resume. The resume says, I've got my high school education. I've got my driver's license. I got my clear criminal reference. You know, I got the things you need. Now here's the intangibles. And I want to show you that I can run a good 40. I do have good shuffle time. I can throw the ball 60 yards, that sort of thing. And one of the things that comes up, because everybody watches this, is the 40 times. This is the most talked about. The 40 times, Xavier yesterday running 4.21, suddenly
so cool.
Rockets, right, in the draft. He just went from maybe a second rounder to definitely a first rounder. And now, of course, every Packer fan, you know, we got to have this guy. This is the guy. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about 40 times because the Packers, you know, we've got right now Reed, Wicks, Watson. I mean, and Melton, these guys are uber fast.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
You know, Jordy Nelson ran a 4.51 in his 40 time. He didn't play like a 4.51. He played a lot closer to like a 4.3. He always seemed to be wide open. Davante Adams, 4.56. I mean, 4.56 and he was allowed on the team?
Yeah, it turns out being really, really, really good at football matters a little bit more than your ability to run in a straight line super quick. And I think one of the things that the combine doesn't do a fantastic job of is demonstrating the play speed, because just going in a straight line is not the only component of speed. It's how fast can you go through your breaks. That's obviously a big deal. This guy, Kevin Cole, who put together a cool thread showing, and there's been other studies that do the same thing, showing like the correlation between different combine stats and NFL success, and also showing how much teams care about those combine stats. And what you find is that a drill like the 40-yard dash matters so much to the teams and has virtually no correlation at all to how good you're going to be in the pros. So,
yeah.
You know, this is why a guy like Cameron Kitchens, who had just a god awful combine, I mean, came out of this with a 2.11 or something RAS score, just pathetic numbers. And it really didn't move him for me. on my draft board at all, because, you know, would it have been fun to have him have these great numbers? Yes, but they're just not that indicative of NFL success. Now, there's like a little column A, a little column B here, because if you go through and look at the players the Packers have drafted over the last few years, there's a eerily high correlation between the guys with low athletic scores and the guys who busted from Goody's drafts. So, you know, it's you can't really draw any hard black and white lines and say, you know, how much this matters.
This is the drill. This is the drill that will determine it. You know, this is the forget the 40 time. We're going to stack cups. And if he can stack cups in under 7 seconds, he's clearly going to be the best offensive lineman. I mean, I do agree. Some of these are a little arbitrary. And, you know, I mean, it's nice to see, hey, the 40-yard time, this guy can move. And there's one thing that a coach can't do, and he can't coach speed. He can coach route running. He can coach catching the ball. But if you run a 4-2-1, you will always be uber fast, right? When I played and when I coached, there was two types of players. There was the player, there was the practice player, and then there was the game player. And the practice player always looked fantastic in practice, and then it didn't equate on the field. And then there was a guy who in practice, you were like, what is this guy dragging a piano? This guy's terrible. I don't know what he's doing. And then you get him in the game and he's making every tackle. He is making every play. He is involved in everything. And that's that, I guess that's what that RAS is trying to equate, you know, like he won't be so much as a bust if his RAS is a certain number. But again, how many guys scored high on that RAS and are not currently in the NFL after 1 or 2 years?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And I think that one of the things you have to do is look at that guy with the high athleticism and determine how much of his success in college is just due to being bigger and faster and stronger than all the guys around him, because that is going to fall away the second he steps in the NFL, where every player on the field is an elite athlete, except for Jarvis Landry. you know, the things that he does better from a skill standpoint, that is what's going to carry him in his success in the NFL, combined with, and probably more importantly, work ethic, studying habits, learning style matched with the situation you're in. Are you being coached in the style that helps you learn the best? You know, Goody had a fantastic quote the other day where he was talking about the intelligence testing that they do,
The Whitlick,
all of them. talking about how they use that. I'm trying to pull up the exact quote here. I know it's right around here,
but he's definitely looking for the most intelligent, right? It's sort of like that New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. If he doesn't have football smarts, I don't need him on the team.
Right. Yeah, but the point he was making is that they do value the intelligence tests because it gives them a lot of information that they don't necessarily use when they are choosing whether or not to draft a player. But then once they have drafted the player, this gives them some valuable information about how this player learns and how they can best support him once he's actually in the building. And like, hey, you know, this dude is just a super visual learner. And so if you're just trying to explain stuff to him with words, you're wasting your time and he's not learning anything because that's just not his learning style. That's it. A huge, huge thing. So I thought
I'm a visual learner. You show me one time and I'll never forget it. I'll do it that exact same way every time. If you write it down on a piece of paper, I'm lost. Forget it.
I'm pretty good with stuff written on paper, but if you're just telling it to me, I'm going to have a hard time retaining any of it for sure.
Yeah.
I like to be able to refer to what's written down.
I'm a graduate of YouTube college when it comes to like repairing my equipment and stuff. Like, show me that video. Show me what he did. I'll do it exactly like that. You know, some of the other 40 times that I found interesting, Jordy, of course, the 451 Cobb ran the 446. Man, he played so much faster. Remember his first couple of years before he got hurt? Like, that guy was like lightning in a bottle. And then to find out that Donald Driver ran a faster 40 than Cobb is just, Driver ran a 4.45, Jennings at a 4.48. Like, Jennings seems so much faster than Driver. Like, I think a
really underrated component of like football play speed is your mental processing and decision making. You know, it's great that you can get from point A to point B really quickly, but how long did it take you to decide to start running? Because the guy who started 0.2 seconds sooner is probably going to beat you there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. James Jones ran a 4.59. I found that fast for James. James always seemed to be that guy that it looked like he was carrying a 50-pound pack on his back. Adams, the 4.56. Sterling Sharp, 4.44. Again, another guy that just, he couldn't be covered. That football smarts, right? Like, he knew, this is where I'm going, and you're just not going to catch me. Dobbs at a 4.47. That's a little surprising, because when you watch Dobbs play, he does not look like a 4.47. Even when he catches the ball and he's wide open, he seems to be caught almost immediately.
Dobbs is interesting because I think that his top end speed is really good, but it takes him a while to get up to that. You know, I mean, I remember, because like, I think the fastest player on our team currently pre-injury was Eric Stokes, blazing fast player. And like, I remember in, it was during the preseason, and it was during a practice, and Dobbs just smoked him. And I think it just really has to do with like, when he really opens it wide up and hits his top end speed, he's crazy fast. I think his acceleration is not that great.
No, he seems to always be struggling in the first 10 to 15. What do you think? This is my gut, and I've said this 1,000 times on the show. I'm going to say 1,000 more times. The only guy I've ever accurately predicted in the draft in my entire lifetime was Eddie Lacy. That's it. Everybody else, I've always been wrong. Yes, they did get an offensive tackle, but then they got him in the fourth round, or they got the running back in the fifth instead of the second, that sort of thing. I mean, who knows what Goody's got up his sleeve? He loves to use these, you know, oh, we're going to be open to draft absolutely everybody. It's like, okay, we get it. You don't want to tip your hat, because we have seen the Bears grab a guy just before, and that was our guy. We have seen Minnesota grab a guy. They didn't need that guy, but they didn't want us to have him. It's part of the sport. It's part of the game. What I don't think we're drafting at 25. And the reason I don't think we're drafting at 25 is just because there's a lot more meat in the second round. I think we can get a lot more. I mean, I don't know exactly what a 25th pick equates to, how many picks that is. I'm assuming it's a second and a third and possibly a fifth or a sixth, something along that line. A 25th pick is really like a real early second round pick. It's not so much as a, you know, a first round guy. I think that once we get past 15 and Goot sees guys like Deshaun gone, and maybe, you know, McKitchen's gone, maybe he goes, you know what, we don't need that 25th pick, but we could take another second rounder and really fill out the depth.
It'd be interesting. Of course, the most important part is finding a trade partner who wants to move up to where you are. And so if there's somebody who's interested in moving up, I would question, you know, why we are not also interested in whoever that they might be moving.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say this, that we're not going to pick in the first round.
Yeah.
Within the first 5 minutes, Goot will trade a couple of picks and be a top 10. Like, you just don't know.
He likes to move around for sure. He really does.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think the top three positions of need are? And I know Goot, again, we got into this yesterday. He doesn't pick for need, but I mean, we've obviously got some holes that need to be filled, either in the draft or free agency.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my big thing this draft season has been that the Packers won't draft for a need. Not that they don't, because they have done it a couple times. I think that this year the roster is kind of more complete than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of draft capital. And I think, you know, you're looking at over the last 3 years, including this upcoming draft, we'll be drafting 33 guys. It's a lot of players. You know, we're getting to the point where the roster is kind of full, and it's full of a lot of young guys, and there's not so many old guys to trim and move on from. And I really think that a big emphasis for the Packers this year, just due to their kind of situation of luxury, is I think that they're going to want to just find the very best football players that they can find in this draft at whatever position it is. And I think I'm alone in this. I don't think that they would blink at all, even though they love Jordan Love, about taking a quarterback. I don't think that they would. I think that they really just are concerned with getting the best football players that they can at any position and getting them in the building. And I think that every position on the roster has some room to get better. And Goody has talked a lot about the sort of newfound appreciation that he and the coaching staff have now, given the way last year went, for more competition, that they really felt like having a lot of healthy competition. And it sounded like he was referring pretty strongly to the wide receiver room when he said that.
Yeah.
That having that really tough competition brought out the best in all of the players in the room.
Yeah.
And it sounded like he was really contemplating, like, I kind of would like to see more of that. And the other thing, sticking on the quarterback thing for a second, he literally said that he wants to draft a quarterback. So I don't know why people are not believing him.
Yeah.
He tells us the truth pretty frequently, and people never believe him when he does.
When you've got 11 picks, I could see us grabbing a quarterback, maybe fourth, fifth round, somebody to back up Jordan Love. I mean, obviously the plan to go forward is to use Jordan Love and make him the franchise guy, sign him to a nice long-term deal. And we do have to have a quality backup. We saw it when Rodgers would go down, you know, other than Matt Flynn, we really didn't have too much success with our backups. So I can see that we would get another backup. I don't think it's going to be, you know, first round shocker, second round shocker.
I think it'll be whenever there's a quarterback he really likes that is within reach.
Yeah.
I think here's the thing. With the way that the Jordan Love pick worked out, I think Goody's gotten really ballsy. And I think that he has like some confidence here of like, I really like my process. I really like bringing in talented players and then worrying about the fallout from that after the fact. And I think the fact that the Jordan Love pick worked out as well as it did for him, you know, he is openly talking about that he wants to change the way that the Packers have been conducting business regarding drafting quarterbacks. He describes it as drafting multiple quarterbacks. He says, I really want to get back into drafting multiple quarterbacks. I don't think that that means multiple backup quarterbacks. I genuinely just think that he looks at the value of having an elite quarterback in the building under contract with him and says, like, dude, I will deal with whatever negative side effects come from having that. I want the guy in the building because it's the most valuable thing that a general manager can have.
Yeah.
I can trade it for whatever I want.
Yeah.
Jordan Love could break his collarbone or do something that jeopardizes the rest of his career, and I'm still set. I think he does. I don't think that he really cares about what people think about, like, oh, but you know, what about your commitment to Jordan? He's like, dude, how about the contract I'm giving Jordan? How about that? Let me worry about my relationship with Jordan.
Yeah.
I also just want to draft the guys that I like. And so I think that if there's a quarterback that he really likes, I think that there's no spot where he wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger. It's just a matter of how likely is it that there's going to be a quarterback that he really loves at 25 that he thinks is worth 25. Not very likely, because there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. And I don't think this is a fantastic quarterback class. I think that if JJ McCarthy fell to, you know, pick 21 or something like that, or anywhere near that, I think that JJ McCarthy is a Gutekunst type of quarterback. I don't like McCarthy that much, but I really think Goody would. So, you know, am I predicting they're going to draft a quarterback? No, but if a quarterback that he likes falls to where he can reach him, I just don't think that he would hesitate to pull the trigger at any point in the draft.
See, the only thing I'm going to predict that's going to be accurate is we're going to grab a lot of defensive linemen with this new scheme. We need more guys in the trenches. I mean, Gary in Michigan played with his hand down, so for him to get his hand back down, no problem. Van Ness only plays well when his hand is in the dirt. When he's standing up, he seems to not be able to overpower his guy. When he puts his hand in the dirt and launches from that 3-point stance, he just pushes guys out of the way. He overpowers them. The guy
I have seen him make some good plays standing up, and some of the numbers I've seen indicate that he's been successful in both places, but he definitely has a lot more experience hand in the dirt. That's for sure.
The best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
Better than the best.
The best of the best.
Better than the best.
Putting on a good show.
The best Packer podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best.
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
I'm Jeremy Retz. You're listening to Packers Without Borders. Go Pack, go.
It's time for Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
Dogs can't operate MRI machines, but cats can.
This has been Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
This is Tazeem Wajed. You're listening to Packers Without Borders.
Preston Smith is the guy that I find the odd man out. And I saw that they restructured him, and I thought, okay, well, that's good. But what's happening with him? Where does he, because he doesn't play with his hand in the dirt. He plays standing up. He's not going to play. I know Packer fans are saying he's going to play cornerback one. He's not playing cornerback one. So do you think maybe they switch him into interior line? I know that like the interior linebacker position, we had a lot of injuries last year. Campbell's ankle, I don't know if it holds up for another year. I don't even know if Campbell is sticking around, right? Do you think maybe they put Preston Smith at that side-by-side with Quay?
So you're the first person that I've talked to who has had any interest in this topic about the idea of moving Preston back off the ball a little bit. I have thought it would be interesting to put him at Sam.
Yeah.
We have a little clue here, though. His new contract is super incentive laden, and it's all centered around sacks.
Yeah.
If they were moving him to Sam, I don't think that he would agree to that. I think that he has an understanding that he's going to be still on the defensive line. When he was in Washington, he played a little bit hand in the dirt. He also played kind of a decent amount of like off ball linebacker. He's, you know, for all the memes that people like to make about him playing cornerback, really, it's just a 3-4 outside linebacker. But, you know, he is decent in coverage. He's, you know, especially for his size, it's incredible how good he is in coverage. So I understand why Pettenberry liked to drop him into coverage a lot. I think that they are going to just keep him in part of that edge rusher rotation. You know, is he going to be a true defensive end? Or are they going to kind of come up with a creative role for him and kind of just still have him playing outside linebacker in a 4-3 style of defense? I don't know. You know, the other thing is that they're going to play different types of fronts in different situations. So there's still going to be situations where he'll have opportunities to rush standing up as a 3-4 outside linebacker. But I certainly agree that he feels like a weird fit in what we expect the new defense to be. And the idea that he might take a step back makes a lot of sense. So fingers crossed. I'm really glad that he is back. I mean, getting 6 freaking years out of a free agent. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I'm also glad that his contract is heavily incentive laden. Cause if he gets the 10, 11 sacks or whatever, we're going to be thrilled with paying out the nose.
Oh yeah.
Like I love incentive based contracts. You know, like I wanted Jordan Love to earn every single penny of all of his incentives last year, because it meant winning the Super Bowl and winning playoff games.
It meant success.
Yeah. If we are getting that success, pay the guys, whatever. You know, what gets me concerned is when we get locked into a type of contract where, like, this will be great if it pans out, and then you're sitting there and you got a 9-win season or whatever, and the dude has 4 sacks and the 9% pressure rate, and you're like, get out of my freaking face, and I don't want to pay you, you know, 7 figures, 8 figures, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. What, Aaron Jones. I know Nagler came out and did his – normally what Nagler says is pretty on the nose. And I agree with an awful lot of what he says.
I didn't hear what he said about Jones.
Well, he talked about, is this the end? Is this goodbye for Aaron Jones?
Okay.
I think whether Aaron Jones was 24 or 30 years old, that his contract is in his final year. This is the year that we renegotiate, restructure his contract. Whether he had 3,000 yards or 1,000 yards or 500 yards, this would be the time that you don't restructure the guy at the end of the year when he can go and get other teams to crank up the price. You do it now while you still got him, right? I think that Jones can give us a solid 10 games a season and should be paid appropriately for those solid 10 games. The 17-game contract, the huge numbers to play an entire season, we know from watching Jones over the last – he's not going to give us 17 games. He's not that type of back. He can't go, you know, 17 games. Do we need him? I think it would be stupid of us, especially if we're going to let Dylan go, especially if we're going to let Wilson go. You know, there's a handful of these guys in the running back room. We're going to empty the running back room and start again. Especially with Jordan Love in his second year as a starter, I think we restructure Jones. We sign him, you know, and of course I'm speculating. Everybody says, oh, they won't sign him to a 4-year. Listen, I'm just throwing a number out there. They're going to sign him to a 4-year deal, throw all the money in the fourth year, throw in incentives so he can make some money, guarantee him a little bit, but he's not going to see, like, we've got to make $11 million worth of room on his deal. We're not going to do it in a 1-year prove it deal. He's not going to take an $11 million pay cut when he can just say, forget it, I'll play out this year, right? It's like the Bakhtiari. Well, we'll just offer Bakhtiari $5 million. Well, why would he take that when he could not play and we have to give him 19? Like that, it just doesn't make any sense. I think that we're going to restructure Jones 3-4-5 year. I don't know what that deal looks like. It's got to be over multiple years to get that $11 million worth of space out of him so that he feels comfortable. We got to keep Jones because when he's on the field, he is that much of a difference maker. I mean, the team looks completely different, but I do think we have to start drafting free agent, maybe a trade. Goot alluded to that at the beginning of this whole process. Hey, we got a bunch of picks. There's a handful of veteran guys out there. Maybe we trade a pick for a veteran guy. You know, maybe we get Jonathan Taylor for the number 25 pick. I don't know. Don't ask me. Smarter minds make those decisions.
I'm the wrong person to ask about this because I'm always super low on running backs. And we've already kept Aaron Jones 4 years longer than I would have kept him. And so I'm the wrong person to ask about this. And I value the run game. I tend not to value running backs that much, especially older backs. I'm always very, very interested in running backs in the draft and even undrafted free agent running backs. It's super interesting to me. I think that you can get fine production with a good run blocking offensive line and some young guys. I'm not in the business of, pining for big name free agent running backs. They don't interest me even a little bit. I'm not even sure what number you could throw out there that would be low enough to have me interested in Jonathan Taylor. I really don't know. And the other thing is like everybody's been taking this article by Tom Silverstein and really running with a couple things from it about like, AJ Dillon is gone and Aaron Jones is going to be gone if they can't get his cap number down the next couple weeks, whatever. And I'm not trying to question the legitimacy of Tom's reporting. I didn't have the same takeaway when I read his article. The AJ Dillon thing really felt to me like speculation by Tom. I don't think that Tom was trying to say, hey, this is what I'm hearing from the team. It felt more like, well, obviously, because, this is clearly what they're going to do. Cause why would you do anything different? Which is fine, but like, I can do that too.
Yeah.
And then, a lot of
podcasters do a lot.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's our entire career is based on here's what makes sense. So I think that's what Tom was doing there. I don't think he was trying to make it sound like it was a report. I think that it was his opinion, and I think that's fine. And the Aaron Jones thing, like the Packers like Aaron Jones a lot more than I like paying Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
put it that way. Like I like Aaron Jones, I don't like paying Aaron Jones. And he's just pretty darn old and physically worn down as shown by his continual injuries. So, I think they probably do find a way to bring him back. It will not disappoint me in the slightest if they decide to move on, but I will say overall, I really don't like this running back draft class either. I think all the really good running backs who we thought were going to be in this class all went back to school.
Yeah.
And so next year should be a good class. Maybe those guys will be a little more worn down than we're used to them being due to having an extra year of tread on their tires, but whatever. The Packers are in an interesting situation, and I would right now in March, I would expect the Packers run game this year to take a step back because I think it's going to be hard to financially and draft wise, just, get quality running backs on the roster, period. I still think that there is a decent chance that AJ Dillon is back. Decent chance that Aaron Jones is back.
Dillon's market value is like $3.5 million. Yep. I mean, that's pretty cheap for a guy that you can put in there and use him an entire game.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I almost think that AJ Dillon's value is going to be higher to the Packers than it will be to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And I'm in a very different camp, I think, on AJ Dillon than a lot of folks. I think that most people tend to kind of just want him off the team. I think that there's no question that the way he runs leaves something to be desired for sure.
A little bit. Yeah.
You don't get the same type of production out of him that you do from Aaron Jones, where like Aaron Jones is special at making something happen where there's nothing to make happen. Yeah. And AJ Dillon kind of just gets whatever is right there. Just takes what's there. People get annoyed about ankle tackles, whatever. To me, the run game, I care a lot about attempting to rush the ball. I don't care very much about succeeding at rushing the ball.
AJ Dillon, I've been comparing him to John Kuhn. If you need 2 yards, he'll get you 3. If you need 5 yards, he'll get you 3.
Yep.
You know, he's just that battering ram that just keeps hitting that D line. And really, for years while Rodgers was there, we were all convinced Rodgers is audibling out of the run game. He's not letting Jones. He's not letting Dillon take over. He's taking away the spotlight. And then we get to this year, and it's like, okay, clearly LaFleur just does not want to run the ball first. He wants to pass, and then use the run as to set up more passes, you know?
Maybe. The one thing I'll push back is that our offensive line this past year was just god-awful.
Oh, especially, the whole first half.
Especially run blocking.
Yeah.
And the run blocking kind of never really did get better. You know, by the end of the year, like I kind of wanted all of our interior guys off the team. You know, and I've been one of the bigger Josh Myers defenders, but you know, he had an awful year. John Runyon had just a horrific year that started in training camp. You know, that the first preseason game that we had, Runyon looked like garbage, and then he ended up having one really good preseason game in like week two or week three. But the other two were trash, and then he just was kind of trash all year.
Yeah.
And Sean Ryan was awful. I think Newman was like not really a step down from our other guard options, genuinely.
Well, no, they were all terrible.
They were all terrible. Ryan,
yeah.
I don't understand where this hype around Sean Ryan comes from. Ryan was horrible. People are convinced because there was one game.
It's the pedigree. It's the pedigree. It's because his dad, right? It's you know, well, his dad was a Hall of Famer. It's like, well, yeah, his dad, right? Like it doesn't truly equate that way. Just because your dad was really good doesn't mean you're going to be really good. And you know, maybe it's even our system. Maybe, you know, you remember back when Denver had all of these running backs, it didn't matter who they plugged and played. They ran that zone blocking offensive line, and every running back, Clinton Portis, Anderson. I mean, it was just plug and play, 1,000 yards. Maybe it's
Niners
our system.
Are kind of that same way.
Yeah. Maybe it's our system. Maybe he can't grasp our system and he needs to be in another system. You know, maybe. I don't know. I feel bad for the guy because he did look good, and then he looked really bad, really bad, really bad. And then he looked good. And you're like, oh, he got it. Oh, no, he doesn't have it. You know,
you're still talking about Sean Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Ryan had there was a stretch this year where he would like alternate every week between like elite game, garbage game, elite game, garbage game. Not a lot of snaps in any of them. You know, the consistency just wasn't there. And like on the season, I don't remotely get where all the hype from the fans is around Ryan. Like there's just kind of this consensus that like, well, Ryan has finally figured it out. He's arrived. Like, no, he can be good in 2024. And if he is, it'll be the first time he's been good in the NFL.
Yeah.
and I think I know where this kind of came from. And this is not a shot at Andy Herman, but Andy Herman put together a cut up of like 8 run plays that we ran. I think this was like the Rams game, maybe. I don't really remember, but it was kind of the first time that they started playing Sean Ryan. And he was kind of only in there on like some run plays. It was like an 8 snap sample size where you could see when we ran the ball and he was in, there was a lot of success. You know, and no focus on the pass blocking, and he was bad at pass blocking in that game. And then for the rest of the season, he wasn't a good run blocker. He wasn't a great pass blocker, but it was, you know, it was an interesting cut up that Andy Herman put together. But a lot of people just took that and ran with it. They were like, this dude is an elite run blocker. And that was just kind of the narrative for the rest of the season. It's just like, I don't know how to explain this to you, but he borderline shouldn't be on the team.
Yeah.
He's awful. And the only reason why you don't really notice how awful he is because John Runyon is playing just as bad and Elton Jenkins is sucking and Josh Myers has like had a nervous breakdown or something. Like all of our interior guys are horrific this year. So you don't really notice how bad Sean Ryan is because it's that bad whether he's out there or not. So,
but the PFF, you know, but the PFF, JJ, the PFF.
Well, the PFF was bad on him too. PFF didn't like him either.
Real quick before I let you go here, JJ, who is the one guy you would like to see the Packers get? Either free agency draft, who's out there that you're like, hopefully they get this guy. I have a crush His name is Patrick Queen out of Baltimore. I know this is a bit of a long shot, but you imagine him and Quay, because we're mostly going to be playing a 4-2-5, right? That's what we're really going to be in. So him and Quay out there, that would be incredible. Whether or not we get him, again, my dream.
Well, it would be interesting because Patrick Queen was really, really good in 2023. It was the first time he's ever been good. He was garbage until Roquan got there. And then it was just kind of the, why am I drawing a blank? Oh, Morgan Burnett. Morgan Burnett to HaHa Clinton Dix relationship.
Yeah.
Or Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark, where like when you have the tandem, the one guy can finally kind of realize his potential. Yeah. So it would make me nervous to remove Patrick Queen from the one situation where he's ever been able to succeed and then say, hey, this will still translate over in Green Bay where they kind of never have good linebackers and Roquan isn't there, but let's try and get Quay to do the Roquan stuff and hope that this all still gels for Patrick Queen. So that would be what would make me nervous about Patrick Queen. I got a couple of guys who I definitely would be interested in. One is actually just retaining a guy, and it's not going to be super interesting for your viewers, unfortunately, but I really don't want to let Eric Wilson get away.
Yeah.
Humongous special teams contributor. Holy cow. Special teams stud. Do not let this man leave. I don't care that he doesn't play defense. Keep him for special teams. Can we stop devaluing special teams?
Yeah.
So that would be one guy this offseason that I really want to make sure we retain. And then in the draft, of course, there's just a billion guys that I'm crushing on. But Troy Fontenot would probably be the offensive lineman that I would really be geeking about bringing him in. You know, maybe he plays guard, whatever. I love his attitude. I think that he's a high-level thinker. I just like his game a lot. He's very high for me. You know, if there's any way we can get him at 25, I'd be doing backflips. That would be super cool.
Nice. JJ, always a pleasure. Anytime you want to come on and discuss pipe dreams and hopes with our draft and with our free agency. I mean, I won't guess correctly. I don't even do the mock drafts anymore because it's just heartbreak. Because I'm like, oh, he could be there. They're never there when we're ready to pick. They're never. Hey,
I did call it one time. It was like a couple hours before the 2021 NFL draft. Okay. And I just tweeted like, You know, we have our eyes on all these dudes or whatever. Eric Stokes feels like the pick. And then we took him and everybody's like, oh, Nostradamus. And I'm like, well, I'm never going to be able to replicate that again.
Yeah. That was like me with Eddie Lacy, right? As soon as they traded, I'm like, they're grabbing Lacy. Oh my God. And when they took it, I was like, hallelujah. Since that day, I've been wrong 100% of the time.
I did call the Jordan Love one too, but that was like, man, I hope they don't do this. I think they will. I hope they won't. And then they did it. And it took me a while to come around to it, you know, a couple months for me to really see the vision, you know. And then, you know, then you get to sit there and wait for 3 years to actually get to stay and play at all. So,
yeah. Well, it looks like a good pick. He looked fantastic.
Sure does.
When you've got a guy, and I know he's controversial, but when you got a guy like Brett Favre coming out and saying that he could be the best quarterback that's ever played in Green Bay, I mean, you don't lie. Yeah, and he looks like he could be. You know, he, especially after Thanksgiving, and the way that he throws those balls into those tight windows, Rodgers doesn't do that. He stays to the outside and doesn't try and throw a pick, and Jordan's like, nah, I can fit it in there.
He's like the love child of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. The three feet is on.
Right? Here it comes. Stick it, Bears fans. That's what's going to happen. All right.
Suck it, Chicago.
You take care.
And, thank you. Thank you, Matt.
We'll talk to you real soon, and I'll say peace, and go Pack, go.
See you around. Go Pack, go.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and
Something, girl, I've been trying to say. You look so sweet and you're so doggone fine. I just can't get you out of my mind. You become the sweet taste in my mouth now, and I want you to be in my spouse so that we can live happily now. Darling, let me tell you something, girl, I've been trying for days. Give me some loving and some 20-20 hugging. Ooh, your cute little tongue. Girl, between you and me now, we don't need no company. No other man, no other girl now into our world, not as long as you groove me, baby. Oh yeah, make me feel good inside. Come on now, yeah. Groove me, baby. I need you to groove. Hey, howdy, man. His Majesty
Floyd. We changed it a little bit.